One.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. I want to say hi to all of our friends in Kenya. I met a Kenyan this morning. It was so cool. I was at the fuel stop, fueling up. The guy come out to ask me about this truck, if I liked it. We got all done. He said, I'm like, all right, where are you from? Kenya. All right, I love you, Kenyans. They're such wonderful people. I said, so what's your name? And he said, my name is Samuel. I'm like, isn't that just something?
That is awesome. And welcome, YouTube.
Welcome, YouTube, to 1 hour of faith and communion. It's going to be a good time. And we're going to start it right at the top of the hour here. We're striving for more and more excellente.
Andy.
So we welcome you. And those of you on Zoom and YouTube, you can see I'm, like Brother Roger said, I'm motoring easy and motoring safe. But I am motoring, and I am telling you, every one of you got to come out there, and we've got to create a tour. When you're around that curve right there, if you could just see what I see, it is just absolutely amazing. Just amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. And all of this beautiful land, just absolutely beautiful. Amazing. And I've driven this road, who knows, 100 times. And it just never ceases to be like, wow. Now, I wish I could give you a picture of it, but I'm going to have to mount a GoPro that Sister Leanne can control from the computer at the office so she can pan and tilt and zoom in. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you the praise. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful week of word and revelation and understanding. Thank you that you are always the same. Like Brother Terry taught us to say, your word is truth, and you are good. We give you glory for it. Thank you that as we study your word this morning for 1 hour of faith, that the Holy Spirit of God illuminates our heart, our minds, and our understanding right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless everybody that's trying to get to us. And bless multitudes of people to get to us. And receive this word of faith. And see and know and understand how to walk in and function in your faith. We give you glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were assigned to do by the Father. You lead us into all truth, because you are the truth. You show us things to come. And then you illuminate our heart and minds and understanding to be able to receive it all and walk in the glory of it, walk in the power of it, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, Sister Leanne, I'm going to need to have you read some verses for me.
All right.
I was going to tell you about three different times when we were on the phone, and we got talking about ducks and cows and ponds. And so Romans chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be. And then some other places in the middle. And it's going to be great study. We've kind of been in it all week long, and we're just going to stay in it, because the whole purpose of this program is to help you become established in your faith, so that your faith can be used like a wrench, like a pipe wrench, like a crescent wrench, like a box end 916, pipe 916, and use it like a wrench and see it bring things to pass in your life. So, Romans chapter 10, and let's read verses 6 through 17.
All right.
Romans 10, 6 through 17.
All right.
There we go.
Verse 6. But the righteous of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Now pause. He just said, the righteousness of faith speaks. And what does that righteousness of faith say? It says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That's what the righteousness of faith says. The word is near you. Where? In your mouth and in your heart. Jesus said, if you speak it with your mouth, it'll go down in your heart and it'll transform your life. God said to Joshua, meditate in the law day and night, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. In Jesus' name, the righteousness of faith speaks. Go ahead, love.
Hold on. I was trying to type the verses in on YouTube. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes to righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Keep going.
It's actually pretty simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Keep going.
For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him.
So then let's pause and just say it. We believe in you, Lord. Everybody say it.
We believe in
we
you,
believe
Lord.
In, we know we will not be ashamed.
And we know we will not be ashamed.
We speak our faith every day.
Speak our faith every day. Amen.
Amen. Keep it reading. Amen. Keep it reading.
I know. I was trying to type in verses. I'm not going to be able to do that today. I apologize. So if somebody out there would like to type in verses to keep track of them, please feel free to do that. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you want to see your faith grow, you're going to have to see it in the word. Faith doesn't grow by the laying on of hands. Faith doesn't grow by the anointing with oil, although laying on of hands and anointing with oil are two very strong biblical doctrines, processes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's why we call this 1 hour of faith, because we open up our Bible and we read the word of God, and that word produces faith. That word produces faith in our lives. So, we're going to read some more of the word here in a minute. But I want us to stay very focused on this. Think about this. The next place I want you to go, love, is I'm going to do it inside out. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I think it's 16, 17, and 18. I believe that's where it is. Because since we just read by the greatest example of faith, the Apostle Paul, who God gave the very powerful revelation, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So that's one of the greatest revelations of the New Testament, that Christ would actually come and live on the inside of us and make us into a new creation, a being that actually never existed before. When you're born again, you're actually made into a being that never existed before. And, you know, of course, the people in the faith world, they believe that, and they've been preaching it for years. But there's a whole lot of other people that have never preached that you are a new creation. They might say you're a new creation, but to say you're a species, you're a new created being that never existed before, many of them would not say that because, well, that takes them out of the normalized doctrines that the church has been in for so long. And so then they don't do it, and they shy away from it. And yet it's the greatest revelation you can have, because not only did he forgive our sins, turned us into a new creation, a new being that has life in a way that we've never even known before this. You didn't even realize it was even possible to know. And yet, this totally transforms your life. So we read the verses that said the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Well, then let's look and see how it speaks. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it starts with pray without ceasing, right?
16. Rejoice always, yes, pray without ceasing.
There you go. Rejoice always. Say it again.
And pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Oh my. Looks like I'm probably going to be on this run for a while. Let me see. I better speak a different word than that. I declare that this line moves through quickly and that the line that the well site moves quickly.
Amen.
I'm going to be here with all my Kenyan brothers right here, right now. Hallelujah. Now, so we just saw it said the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Well, that means we got to speak. So now how is it speaking? Well, this is how it's speaking. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's what it does. That's what the righteousness of faith does. So it says, pray without ceasing. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about pray without ceasing. And let's grab a couple more of them. I'm going to be sitting here for a while, so I'll put my camera on and I can read some verses. How'd that be?
Awesome.
It is awesome. Not awesome to be sitting, but can you hear me and see me?
Yes.
I guess we can just turn that off. No sense of burning fuel. Might as well put the windows down so that the word of God can get out to the whole city of Newtown.
There you go.
The righteousness of faith speaks this way. So if you're going to be, if you're going to have faith, you're going to have to speak. If you're going to function in the righteousness of faith, you're going to have to speak. Now, in the Christian world, people don't like you telling them you have to do this. And I know that, but it doesn't matter. I still say it. You have to do this. And I know people don't like it, but it doesn't matter. I still going to say it because guess what? In order to have this, you've actually got to do this. Pastor, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't know what to tell you because this is the assignment of God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's go real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Now let's look at this verse. This is Paul talking about our armor. Okay? And he said in verse 12. No, let's do 10. We'll do 10 through 20. Yep, that's it. 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And if you really want to see the whole armor of God, you got to read all these verses. So this is the armor that you and I put on and we live in every day. So let's read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. All right? I rejoice always. I'm strong in the Lord. Father, I rejoice in the fact that I am strong in you. You are in me And that makes me strong in you. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's better than that, than the thunderous applause you just gave me, but it's all right. I don't preach for applause. 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we've heard this. If you've been around the church, you've heard that. Now, if you're brand new to us, you might be like, wow, what is all this about? Well, the wiles is the trickery, the deception, the confusion of the enemy that would try to come upon us. And so the Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul to write this letter to the Church of the Ephesians. You and I could get a revelation of how to win the battle. If Timothy was the pastor in the Church of Ephesus, and Ephesus was a wicked, 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 wicked city. You and I think that we're in wickedness in our day, but I want you to think about this. In that day, in the city of Ephesus, if you were not a believer, greatest accomplishment you could have, if you were a young lady growing up in Ephesus at the time of Paul, was to be a temple harlot. Now, I know we have some very seriously perverse things going on in America with the whole gender identity situation and the absolute perversion that it's producing. But if you were a sinner, it was a high level of honor for your daughters to grow up and become a temple prostitute. And literally, they would go into the altar in this temple, and if you, I don't know, if you paid or you offered a sacrifice or whatever, and then you actually had sex with the temple prostitute right there on the altar in front of the great statue of Diana. Now, I know that most everybody that I know that's with us today, you're going to be like, man, that's just perverse. It is perverse. This is the day the Apostle Paul is living in, and Timothy is the pastor in this day. Paul wrote to the Romans at the end of his ministry and said, the righteousness of faith speaks this way. I believe in my heart, I'm going to speak with my mouth. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And yet you got to realize Paul had been through Ephesus with Timothy and all this, and he knows these letters are going to get to all those churches. Now, you and I can say, man, we got it bad in the day that we live. It's bad. It's really bad. And, you know, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw a report this morning that there was a pastor that stood up against it, one of these transgender book reading for children, which is a nearly naked man dressed up as a woman reading a book to small children. That's perverse. And this pastor in Canada stood up against it, and he's still in jail. Literally. He is still in jail. And it's against the law to say that that's wrong.
Wow. How twisted.
All he's doing was standing there saying, this isn't right. You shouldn't be doing this to our children. But he's in jail this morning. Why do you say all that, Pastor? Because this is what Paul's writing in, that you may stand against all the wiles, the trickery of the devil. Because it's there and it's in everything. It's like the number of religious leaders of our day. You can't call them Christian if they won't stand up against those things of the day. You just have to call them religious leaders. But that's what the scribes and Pharisees were. They wouldn't stand up against it. And so the men and women who are in pulpits and in church buildings as we speak right now in the United States of America saying that all of this perversion is right, This is what Paul is saying to us. Trickery of the devil is going to be everywhere. And you and I got to put on the whole armor. How are you going to put it on? You can't go down to the Bible bookstore and buy armor to put on. It's not there. The armor's here in the Word. Well, how do I get the armor in the Word on me? With your mouth. With your mouth. There's a lot of well-meaning Christians that have never spoken a verse of Scripture ever a day in their life. And because of it, their lives have been severely hindered in the church. Severely hindered in the church. And many of them have gone shipwrecked. Paul says it over there that they go shipwrecked. We'll read that. But let's go back to verse 12. All right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, which is everything that I just spoke. Look at what it says. We do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, the people that is in it doing it. We're wrestling against the principalities and powers that are controlling these people and trying to destroy their lives. That's what we're wrestling against. All right, then he says, and I want to make this statement. I'm not going to turn there, but you can write the reference. Luke 10:19. Jesus has given us power over all the power of the devil. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. Even this, all of this garbage, it ain't going to hurt us. We got to stand up to it. If you didn't get a chance to see it yet, make sure you go and see the Kingdom to the Capital tour by Brother Sean Fouk. And I think Friday he was in Oklahoma. And yesterday he's in Texas, and today I think he's in Kansas. But my goodness, those Oklahoma, that was a huge crowd that was out in Oklahoma. And in Texas, you know, Texas is going to be packed because Texans are some, they're not only great people and passionate Americans, but they're powerful believers in Texas. Anyways, so stand up against it. Jesus has already defeated it. You and I got to stand up against it and tell it to sit down, shut up, get out of the way. The righteousness of faith does that. It speaks. 13, take up the whole armor of God. Here it is. That you may be able to stand in the evil day. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's the word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Where do you get that? From Jesus. It's not your righteousness. It's his. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the peace. Well, what's that? That's the word of God. You got to get the word and speak it. The righteousness of faith speaks. 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. The more you speak this word, the more your shield you have, the less you speak the word, the smaller your shield gets, the smaller your shield gets. And Jesus said to him who has, more will be given, and to him that doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. Not by God, by the cares of the world, by the deceitfulness of riches, by the desire of other things. And next thing you know, you're trying to protect yourself with just this little tiny shield of faith that's about that big around. When if you speak the word of God, you can have a shield of faith that surrounds you on every corner of your life, and nothing can penetrate. Wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. 17, take the helmet of salvation. You received righteousness. Jesus born you again, and now you're saved. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. You might be in a completely different study than what I'm leading us in here. That's fine. Let God lead you where he's going to lead you. Everything I say is going to give you a confirmation of what he's already been saying in your life. 18, this is two of the most important verses is right here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, what's the mystery? We studied it this week. Christ in me, the hope of glory, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I want you to think about it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I believe God, and God gives us his righteousness through Jesus. It's imputed unto us. You didn't even do anything to deserve it. He imputes it to you, gives it to you. Glory be to God. Well, Pastor, I got to do something. Yeah, put your hand out and receive. Every time we do communion, we're going to do it in a little bit. What do I say? Open up your hands and then just receive the gift and hold it to you. How does all this come to pass? Except that you open up your hands and receive the free gift of righteousness that's from our God and Father in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Sister Leanne, are you there? Looking for the mic.
Yes.
Now, I think what I want to do next is Hebrews 11. And we're going to go down from 1 to 22. This is the story of Abraham. I mean, you got Noah in there and Sarah, but it's mostly, well, you got Abel, Enoch, and Noah, but it's mostly Abraham. And it talks about Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The promised lineage of God. And I want to read that next. I got to get out and check my load here. I want to read it next because all of these men that we're going to see said something to God. The righteousness of faith. What they spoke with their mouth and they believed in their heart. Every one of them, even in the Old Testament. Even Abel in the garden, what did he say to God? He must have said, I thank you, God, my Father, for your abundance and your blessing in my life, and I offer this sacrifice to you, and that's what got him killed by his brother. He spoke something. So, if you'll read that, Sister Leanne, I'm going to put my camera on mute and my phone on mute, but I'm going to be listening.
11, 1 through 22?
Yep.
All right. All right, here we go. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. If you ever wish to be translated from one spot to another, I know we have going back and forth between here and Michigan. It's like, Jesus, translate us. Here we go. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith.
Let's pause for a minute. I want you to notice that Abel received righteousness. Enoch received righteousness. Noah was known as a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
Now, all of that was before the law. All of that was before Jesus, grace, the New Testament. And what you and I realize is this has been God's process throughout all of history, that we would believe in our heart and that we would speak with our mouth. This has been God's process, and men and women have received from God and have been blessed in faith with righteousness ever since the beginning. I mean, literally, you literally see it says Abel obtained the witness that he was righteous. My. All right. Wherever you stop, keep reading them.
I stopped on verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore,
and remember, Sarah didn't just bear a child when she was 45 or 50.
No,
she was 90. She was 90 years old. And for 25 years, she and Abraham took turns. Come on, Abraham, come in here. Come on, Sarah, let's go. Or, you know, they had to do their part. Still believe God that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They spoke the righteousness of faith. We have a promise. We will have a child. I mean, even though Sarah messed it all up, said, Abraham, I was up this morning, and I think I got a good word. You should go into my servant, and God will give us a child through her. And then, you know, knucklehead, Abraham said, yeah, I think it's a good plan, Sarah. And we've been fighting with the Ishmaelite ever since. And thank God in the New Testament, the Ishmaelites get to have everything that we get to have. All they got to do is receive Jesus. And they do by the thousands every day. Probably, who knows, by the tens of thousands every day, they're coming to Jesus. Why? By the simple righteousness of faith. They believe in their heart and they speak with their mouth. And really, honestly, it's what the kingdom is built out of, and it is so simple that most people have to have some kind of theological bewilderment handed to them so that they feel like they're actually attaining to the things of God. And Jesus said to the disciples, unless you become as one of these little children, you're not even going to see the kingdom. I'm preaching better than you all staring at me right now. Somebody shout amen or something.
Amen. And we're trying to figure out what we're staring at right now.
I don't know. What do you see?
I'm not sure. Kind of your dashboard or your coat or something. I'm not sure what it is we're looking at.
Huh. I don't know how you can see any of that. Hold on.
Okay. Well, it's all right.
All right. Keep reading wherever you was at.
All right. Verse 12. There you are.
That's weird.
For from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those,
see, there's that speak word again, and they confess. Let's not go to a room somewhere with a little screen and somebody sitting on the other side of the wall saying, Father, forgive me, I'm sinned. That's not what the word confession means here. Don't let the good folks over at the Catholic Church who've tried to help people get to God, even though it's messed up, don't let that stop you from understanding the word confession. The word confession means with a statement, with a fession. You are con with fession, speak. So you're speaking. Even in the Old Testament when they didn't have Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, you know, Dr. Winston, T.D., they didn't have nobody. They just saw God in nature. God said, I want you to do this with me. They did it. Enoch had such a relationship with God, of oneness with God, God just took him right out of here. One day he just like, you know, God, you and I are one, let's go. And Enoch just walked right on out of here, 365 years old. How amazing is that? What will God do with you and me if we will just simply do what these men and women did? What will he do? It will be absolutely amazing what he will do if we will just function in that same level of faith that these people had. In Jesus' name, keep going. What time is it?
It is almost 10 to 12.
Wow. All right. I got so much more to say. You're reading. It's you. You're reading slow. It's okay. I'm just teasing with this.
Okay, and now the old cat is here to read too, so please just bear with him until he wanders off again. Verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17, by faith.
Go ahead.
Okay. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones.
Did we come to the end of our verses?
Mm-hmm. Unless you want me to keep going.
All right. Well, I do want you to keep going in a minute. So where we're going to go next is to Genesis 22. But right now, let's just talk about this. Genesis 22:1-19. Now, while Sister Leanne's looking that up, I'm going to say this about this. When you look at verse 16 in Hebrews 11, it says, but now they desire a better spedder, that is a heavenly country. All right? They were talking about being sent out. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Interesting statement, isn't it? So in that statement, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There must be some folks that God's ashamed to be called their God.
Wow.
And I don't know if you've caught it yet. You don't want to be that person that God is ashamed to be called your God. You don't want to be that person. And literally, you might say, well, Pastor, I don't even know what to say. You're saying, say all this. I don't even know what to say. Well, we do know some of the things to say. And this is what we know. No matter what we ever study, no matter what we ever learn, put it in a confession and begin to speak it out loud. You guys have heard me all week long speaking and preaching out of Thessalonians. What was I doing all week long? I got a new revelation, and you guys have heard me speak it every time we come together out loud. I'm speaking it, not just in a teaching manner, but I'm speaking it for myself, so that I am getting this down inside of my life. That is how the whole kingdom, that's how it works. That's why it works. And you might say, I just take the verses of scripture and just write them down. Yeah. I mean, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they didn't have, the Bible that they could quote like you and I did. But what was it? Because of their level, because they didn't have all of these technologies around them to remember stuff for them, their mind had to work. So when God spoke to them, it went down deep inside of them and forever creased them, and they remembered it all the days of their life, which is probably where you and I should be, not being worried about hearing another 15, 20 preachers, but by every day walking with God and being found walking with God. And grab those 10 verses. Maybe God will give you 20. There'll probably come a time when you'll have 50 verses you're working off of. And there'll come a point where you're going to have 100 verses you're going to be working off of. Why? Because you started with 5. And you got the revelation of those 5 down deep inside. Pastor, can you give me a good 5 to get down inside of me? Yeah. Romans 10:6-13, I think. It's good 5 verses in there. What is it? It's the foundation. Romans 5:6. It's literally 6-11 actually works. 6-13 makes it better. Get them in you. Prophesy it. Say it out loud. Sing it in a song. Pray it in a prayer. Romans 6. Another excellent set of 5 verses to get down inside of you is Romans 5. 16-21. 5 verses. 5 times in 5 verses, God says he gives you the free gift of righteousness. 5 verses. What is it going to help me do? It's going to build that foundation doctrine of who God is on the inside of me. Well, I know he loves me, Pastor. Isn't that enough? Well, if that's all you want is just to have the understanding that God loves you, And that's all the farther you're going in God, but like, I guess it's all right. You want to supply all your own needs. You want to, you know, go to the doctor and get medicine rather than be healed. If you're going to do it all in your own strength, you don't need any more verses than that. But that's just never the place God wants any of us to be. God wants us to be full out and conquering in him. And it's just like he just said here.
Amen.
In verse number 11, that God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city in Jesus' mighty name. Now, where did I tell you? Oh, I want you to read those Genesis verses. And that talks about taking Isaac up to the top of the mountain, and where he'll be sacrificed. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, his only begotten, his only beloved son, and that was a type and a shadow of what would happen with God and Jesus. And so let's read that next. I got to make a phone call here, and while you're reading that, I'll get my phone call done. All right, and I'll be right back with you. So if you get done reading before me, then preach or something, but I'll be right back.
And you know,
I love you.
And the interesting thing about he was not afraid to sacrifice him because he knew God gave him life to start with. If he requires his life right now, he can bring it back. You know, there was just no question for him. What an assurance of God, knowing God in that decision. Anyways, here we go. Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So even then, there must have been a part of him that knew that he'd be coming back with his son. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Wouldn't we all be choking right then? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What was Isaac thinking right then? And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Hallelujah. Is that Jehovah Jireh? Is that the name, the Lord will provide? I believe it is. And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is in the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Verse 20, now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, who is his firstborn, Booz, because there's only one Z, his brother Camuel, his father, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazel, Phildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother, his concubine, whose name was Ramah, who bore Teba, Gaham, Thahash, and Maacah. And we'll just keep reading because Pastor's not back yet. So we'll go into chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a sojourner among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, if this is your wish, that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as property for a burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of his sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, no, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I'll bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, my lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field,
before Mamre, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place.
Isn't that something that God actually said the word deed? It was deeded to Abraham. Now, you and I can see in there that Abraham said, when they said, when Isaac said, so where is the, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Isaac knew what that was all about. He knew. And what did he know? There's got to be a lamb here somewhere. And what did Abraham, you ready for this? What did Abraham say? Everything of the Christian life, to speak the word of God. It's in every part of the Christian life. And you and I believe in our heart, and we speak with our mouth. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. And that, and I can tell that today, I have to look this way because I got to watch my scale. I can tell that today there's people here saying, Pastor, I've just never heard anybody teach this message before, that in the Christian life you have to say something. I remember hearing this. I mean, I don't remember the exact minute and hour and day. I'm not like Brother Hagin. You know, back in 1927, about quarter after three, there was a flyover on the wall, and Mom was standing in the kitchen. You know, he had an amazing ability to do that. But I remember when I began to get the message of faith, that we literally had to speak with our mouth. And, of course, you know, when you think about it, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And if you really think about what happened when you're born again, you most people walked forward in a church, and then somebody there led them in a sinner's prayer. You know, there's a lot of people, I don't know, this is a very interesting thing with me, that have never ever prayed out loud. They never have. And that's very interesting to me, because it says if you got to believe in your heart and you got to speak with your mouth. And there's a lot of people, you may not know this, but I know this from experience living in Kentucky. There's whole church organizations down there that the way you didn't even necessarily get born again, you joined the church, the right hand of fellowship, and what you did is you walked down the aisle and went up to the front and shook the pastor's hand. That was your supposed to be your act of salvation. And in it, they received the right hand of fellowship. Well, you know, you're putting a whole lot of faith in a handshake. You're putting a whole lot of faith in a handshake. And yet I know. And I was in a church once. I'm going to just get off on a little sidetrack here, but then we'll come back and do our communion. I was in a church. I was singing in a quartet, and we actually had to go sing at this church, a Christian church, in Kentucky. And, you know, at the end of the service, we sang at the beginning. Somebody preached a message. Oh, our president of our school preached a message. And when he did, at the end, then they invited people to come forward. And the people that came forward shook the hand of the pastor. And when they shook the hand of the pastor, they received the right hand of fellowship. They took him straight in the back room and put a baptism gown on him and brought him out, tore up the platform. Underneath the platform, underneath the pulpit, was the baptismal pool. And they put him right in there and dunked him right then. It was very interesting to me, a very different way of doing it. You see, when you're baptized, what do? You make a confession of your faith out loud for people to hear. But it's not just being born again that you speak something. It's being born again. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you are to ask. That means speak something. And then, of course, the scripture says that you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, you will be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what we Jesus' mighty name. And that's your whole Christian life. Jesus, Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, speak to the mountain for it to be removed. What do you have to do? You have to speak to that mountain. Now, the last time I put you guys on pause, I lost you and I had to come all the way back in. So just pause for a minute and enjoy this wonderful experience of me signing this paperwork right here. Nice man will walk up and hand me a clipboard. Good morning. Oh, maybe morning. Is it still morning? What a beautiful day, huh? Thank you, sir. Most times they're very friendly and talk to you. So, remember this, God will accept any prayer that you pray, any prayer. And he's not standing up there with a club saying, you didn't pray that one right. Sorry about what's going on with you now. You're going to have to suffer. That's not our God. Our God wants you to be blessed in every area of your life. He said, pray without ceasing. And that means even if you don't feel like you're getting it right, just tell him every day, I choose to do this right with you. Help me walk with you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's pray a prayer, and then we're going to get ready for communion. And keep yourselves moving here. Because we're past an hour, right? What time is it?
Yeah, it's 11:45.
All right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know me. I love to teach this and teach this, and I love to teach it for hours. And yet this is 1 hour of faith and then communion. We've said it upwards, backwards, and sideways. And we're going to say it till you come back. Help this revelation to get down so deep inside of people's lives that they will forever be changed by the revelation of it. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Help them be very bold and courageous, very strong, to send an email and send a text, send a message and say, Pastor, explain it to me again so that I get the revelation. And pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we love you. Thank you that you not only are with us, but you live in us. And you said, I will be to you a father. And we receive that in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, I got to go close my lid. Sister Leanne, lead us. Read the communion verses, and I'll be back to receive communion with you guys in just a minute.
Oops.
Find the button. Find the mute button. Find the speaker button.
I was posting in other places. Sorry. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23-28 and verse 31. These are our communion verses. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Oh no. Just a second. Took bread.
He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, which is his redemptive work to us, till he comes. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And that means realizing that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior, and that's Jesus. That's what it means to examine yourself, to realize the position you would be in without him. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So by judging ourselves, God doesn't judge us. And then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, not fear, boldness, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Yes, when we know the perfect love of God in us, we know we have no fear of anything. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Now, what we'll do next is pray the prayer of salvation if there's anyone with us. I just switched screens and okay. If there's anyone with us that has not before prayed the prayer of salvation, you need to do that before you receive communion with us.
Amen. Are you able to put it up on the screen? Oh no, I was able to put it up on the screen, wasn't I?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be able to scroll very effectively. Go on. Probably better not try that. Pray this with us. Now, let me just say this first. I want to say this. I am inspired to say this today. That verse says that the church talks about you drink damnation to your soul if you take it unworthily. It's a very true verse. But here at this ministry, we don't camp on that because of the fact that that's not the important thing with our God. God's not looking for a reason to damn you. God's looking for a reason to help you. And so the Bible says if you receive it in an unworthy manner, that doesn't mean if you sin this week and then you come to receive the communion elements. If you sin, the number one thing you got to do is come the communion elements. Well, why would you say that, Pastor? Because you need the blood of Jesus. So don't let religiosity, man's ways, cause you to not have the wonderful blessing of God. Jesus suffered it on purpose so that if you sin, you have an advocate. The amazing thing is you don't have to sin. And it's just amazing. When you get the revelation, I don't have to sin anymore. It transforms everything about your life. And you see a whole new side of God and his abundant provision. So what are we going to do? Pray the prayer of salvation. Pray this with me, huh? You might have to say, love, you might have to say, I think you've gone to preaching again because it seems to be on me today. Here we go. Pray this with me. Everybody pray. No matter who you are, pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to what we just learned.
And according to what we just learned.
I speak with my mouth.
I speak with my mouth.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God.
And he rose on the third day just for me.
And he rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and just say, I receive you, Jesus, in my life.
I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you here with us. You know, it's an amazing thing. You just transferred in that one prayer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You just transferred from sin to righteousness. You just went from fear to faith in one prayer because you were willing to speak it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. In that one prayer, you just became an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. All of that just happened in that prayer. Some people say, Pastor, I feel it. Well, it's really not a feeling. It's an experience, but it's all right. I know you're feeling it because I know what goes on inside of me, even to this day when I pray that prayer. What? I'm not just mouthing words. I'm saying it again with you as I lead you in it. And it leads me in it, and it reminds me of the goodness of God and his wonderful grace. Watch what we just taught. You just spoke with your mouth because you believed in your heart, and now you are saved. Get your Bible. If you need to know which one to get, send me an email. I'll help you get one. It's HG for Holy Ghost, HGPreacherMan@gmail.com. That's my email address. You can find it right there in the notes of this program. Click on the title for YouTube, and it'll take you right in there. You see my email address. And send me an email. I'll help you walk with God. I got some verses. I just gave them to you during the program, but I'll send those verses to you. And remember, I'll send you some messages on YouTube, free of charge, don't cost you a penny, in a very fun and open format that we have here at the Community of Faith. And I don't know if fun's the right word. But anyway, it's very, very great to help you learn and grow in God. And then what did we just read? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And that's how this works in Jesus' mighty name. I know I can tell somebody saying, Pastor, I've never done all this in communion before. I know, and that seems kind of weird to me. How can you give communion out until you've prayed the prayer of salvation and given everybody in the building an opportunity to be born again or get right with God? And yet I was in many, many communion services where nobody prayed the prayer of salvation. And thank God he showed us to do it right here in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your communion elements up, your bread and your water. I'm not going to be as effective at the bread part here, but it'll be all right. I'm going to lead you in it, and it'll be a blessing. Hold your elements up, and let's pray this prayer. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
Can't hear you, love.
Oh. I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Now let's hold up the bread and say, you were wounded for my transgressions.
You were wounded for my transgressions.
Think about it. You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, in my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, in my will, and in my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Everything has been made right by you, Jesus.
Everything has been made right by you, Jesus.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ.
This community of faith.
This community of faith.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the bread together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, let's lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life, in Jesus' name.
In my life, in Jesus' name.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus,
by the
word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
And the accuser of the brethren has no place in my life.
And the accuser of the brethren has no place in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 And amen. And amen. Let's receive the juice, the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, the Bible says they received the Passover. Jesus spoke his final prayer, John chapter 15, 16, and 17. Final words, and then the prayer. And then it says, sang a hymn and went out. Let's sing a hymn about the blood of Jesus. We like to sing this chorus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus.
Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow.
You know, the farther we get into the Christian life, the more you'll understand everything that we've just done. And most of all, you can say, thank you, Father, that you led me to Pastor Sam and the people here, and that they have just led me into my first communion. Isn't that wonderful? And you received it right here online with a great group of believers that's just chasing God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength every single day of their life. And from this point on, all you got to do is walk with God. And let's just talk to him every day, just like he's your father, because he is your father, and he loves you very much in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all we got. What time it is?
12:30.
All right. 12:30. So it was an hour of faith and about 15 minutes of communion. We're glad to have you with us, though.
Yes, thank you for being with us.
You know, the Father assigned me by the Holy Spirit way back at the beginning when we started this. He just said, do the communion every time you come together so that people have the opportunity to understand who I am and lose the fear of communion. It's amazing to me how many people are afraid of communion. And there's no reason to be afraid. Jesus died so that you can have all of the blessing of God. You don't deserve it. Neither do I. None of us ever have. I mean, this week, Dr. Charles Stanley went to heaven, 90 years old. What a man of God. My goodness, how many people will be in heaven because of Charles Stanley? And yet there was a point in his life where he had to just humble himself and believe in his heart, speak with his mouth, and receive the righteousness of God. And that's where you and I are at. Now our challenge is, let's figure out who God is and how this kingdom works. And that's what we do every night right here. And so we welcome you to be with us, all of you on YouTube, any of you on Zoom. I can't see anybody while I'm driving down the road because I just turn the phone on and then talk. That way nobody can be offended. I am breaking nobody's rules. My hands are free to drive. My eyes are driving. Everything's cool. So call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. So we see you again. This is what we have to say. Remember this.
We love
we
you.
We love.
And God loves you.
You.
And Jesus is Lord.
Let's see you soon.
Apparently when you went out and came back in, you took over host, so you're going to have to shut us.
Oh, all right. All right. I certainly didn't mean to take over.